Hey, Margaret.
Yeah, Anton?
You know what people don't talk about enough?
What?
There are sediment layers of trauma between August and his mom. Welcome to People Don't Talk About Young Royals. I'm Anton. My pronouns are he, they.
And I'm Margaret. My pronouns are they, them.
And we're people here to discuss the show our friends are sick of hearing us talk about.
Anton, what are we talking about today?
Today we'll be continuing our plot discussion of Season 1, Episode 3, focusing on all other relationships that are not Wilhelm and Simon.
Woohoo! In this discussion, we won't be summarizing the plot of the episode, because we already did that. If you need or want to refresh your head back 4 episodes in our feed to our most recent This Week at Hilarishka for a full breakdown, this episode discussion will likely be all over the place, so strap in. You have been warned.
All right. August and his parents.
What a hell of a way to start.
Yeah. My first note is, like, whoa. Because I just didn't know. I was like, and then I'm like, sediment layers of trauma, where to even begin? That's all I have written down, really. And I was like, and then, yeah, it was like, I fucking knew it in my bones that this is where the halfway point of the episode would be when I wrote up my notes, and I was like, dang it. Like, I don't even know what my cold open is gonna be. And so I just went with one of my notes. But it's like, I know what I mean, but I don't know what I mean, because it's just like, you hear these conversations, or even just these little, like, subtle comments made by, well, not so subtle comments made by August, being like, I'm not his son. And like, that's the beginning of it. And then you just get dropped into this conversation between him and his mom, and you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Something I feel like we didn't fully, I mean, we mentioned about Felice before, but like, we kind of fully, we didn't, I think, fully crystallize or give it its time. And the last part is like, with Felice, it's this moment of like fully understanding her character. Mm-hmm. She said before, so we didn't really need to reiterate, but like, I think that's important to talk about in Love More Royals. And as I think I've said before, like, this is a similar moment with like that for similar moment like that for August for me. Like, as mentioned in the last part, I gain a degree of empathy for August,
mm-hmm,
in this episode that I would not otherwise have had without this context, because you can know his backstory without like visibly seeing how it has affected him and his relationships with his family. Mm-hmm. And I will probably be reiterating something I've already said by saying understanding is not justification,
mm-hmm,
for his actions, but like, I think the just absolute like kill shots from him,
oh yeah,
in that conversation, like, there's at least like two or three where you're just like, oh my God, how is his mother standing right, mm-hmm, now? Like,
but she takes it like she's used to them.
Which, again, comes back to the sediment layers of trauma. Like, this feels like conversations they've had before. Maybe to a degree they haven't had them before, because it is, like, different circumstances. But there's just a really storied, just, like, there's history here.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that is kind of just, like, brushed against and then, like, not touched on again.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know. We're coming to, I think, aspect of the show that I'm still muddling over, but mulling over. But I don't know. What's your take?
In the when he first sees his mother,
yeah,
he was very excited to see her. He really liked, that was very obvious to me.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely hates his stepfather.
Yeah.
Is down to embarrass the shit out of his stepfather and, humiliate him.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was this flip where he learned that his mom can't afford to keep sending him to Hlarska. And it was just, he didn't care about her anymore. And he was perfectly okay with, again, kill shots that were just cruel.
Yeah. There's a degree to the things that he's saying that I think where the understanding and empathy comes in for me is he has the tone of voice of someone who's feeling like all of their fears are being validated.
Mm-hmm.
And all of their deepest anxieties about this dynamic are being proven correct in a way that is, point of fact, objectively unfair. But I don't want to back away or ignore the emotional honesty of everything he's saying,
mm-hmm.
of being I've been feeling abandoned. I have the lowest blow probably is when he tells his mom she didn't make life easy for his dad,
mm-hmm.
Which we don't really know what that means, and I'm not even sure August knows what that means. Lashing out at someone who he wanted to have been able to fix his problems. He's mm-hmm. been so profoundly anxious. And I think part of his joy at seeing his mom is being they haven't been able to get a hold of her, and so once they get a hold of her, she can fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep coming back to the idea that, this episode is the one that really reminds me the most that August is only 18.
Yeah.
And lost his father at, 15.
Mm-hmm.
15, 15, 16, at Wilhelm's age. And, I don't know. It's just, really soft. It's this unspoken thing that does not need to be said, but it's just, all of the trauma that he's carrying with him
mm-hmm.
is just very clear for all to see, but it's the first time it's really been externalized at someone in a way that's just so raw. And small acknowledgement for the reveal that we get from Louise that August is broke, but also not broke
mm-hmm.
because he has a solution. She offers him a solution. And it's one that he is utterly appalled by.
Yeah.
And it's always holding that one little caveat for August to avoid making him entirely a sympathetic victim of circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
His pride is so strong and he is so stubborn that the solution for his problems is inconceivable to him, and he is offended at the insinuation.
Yeah.
He does not want to entertain the thought of selling any bit of his estate. I'm forgetting his name.
Mm-hmm.
But it's I don't know, what can you say? August is August. He's so...
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Hope listeners get what we mean.
I think they do.
Yeah. It's in these moments when I get really inarticulate that I'm just what? What am I saying? Anything? Anyways. On a slightly comedic note, I just want to include... I wanted to include August and the headmistress.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote, nothing to see here. Haha.
I wrote, gaslight, gatekeep, no girl boss.
Yeah, because we don't ever see the interaction between August and the headmistress where she comes up to them in the church and be like, hey, can we talk to you, and then I think it's like Louise like turns all to be like, what did you do something?
Yeah.
And it's like, what? yeah. Like it's like, I don't know. Okay. Well, also Louise not realizing that it wouldn't like come up that her son's tuition hasn't been paid. Like,
yeah. Unless she didn't know, but she has to know.
Like, I was assuming, like even if, like her, I mean, her husband seems to be the one who ruined their finances, but it's also, like, he probably, like, he can't be the one to have only been handling that. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
It's.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's weird.
So okay. August and Simon?
Yeah. August and Simon. As mentioned before, I think that they're good foils for each other. And I was like, I can't remember how I define foils, so I should. It's basically like characters who are kind of like thematic or like symbolic opposites
mm-hmm.
for each other in a lot of ways. Like they play off of each other because they're very different. And the way it's really hard to watch, but I think it's hard to watch because the dynamic is so raw and real, because August's like true selfishness is met with Simon's anxiety about paying his dad back.
Yeah.
And so we get two people who are both going through a really rough time, but like cannot budge in this dynamic they found themselves in without fundamental changes of character that are not going to happen.
No.
And so it's like Simon is so justified in his anger. Like it is like undeniably a shitty thing to do. Like despite like August like claiming and in his own head believing that he is broke.
Mm-hmm.
Like we needed that detail from his mom of being mm-hmm. like, you have access to money.
Yeah.
Like, which means at this point it is a choice.
Right.
And it is a choice that would have to be made at like a great personal cost. But it's like, it is a choice to be selfish
mm-hmm.
in this moment. And at the same time, I also see it as just quite the complicated situation.
Yeah.
Like Simon goes at him hard.
Yeah. And relentlessly.
And relentlessly. And in this episode, finally, violently.
Yes.
Like, as mentioned before, I think I block out how hard he hits August's head against the ground
yeah.
until I have watched it every time. Because, I don't know, I think we are very gushing about Simon on this podcast.
We are.
And at the same time, I want to hold space for not calling him a perfect person / character.
Of course.
Because I think we do a lot of damage by doing that.
Oh, absolutely.
Unintentionally, but like not allowing him to have his own rough edges would be a disservice to his character. And I think, which is why I also feel very complicated about Simon and his friends and his dynamic with Ibn Rush. If I have to pick a side, I am on Simon's side in the situation, but it is with the context that I have mm-hmm. that, like, in fairness, like, we see Simon, we, like, glean that, like, Simon has provided them the context of everything that has happened
yeah.
with this situation. But I also can't escape the feeling that Io and Rosh don't really get it. And they're also not really trying to get it.
Yeah.
And maybe that's unfair of me to say as someone who is very much like seen way more of Simon than them. And it's like they're very much like characters that exist like in like Simon's world. And he's the one we're following. Like it does make sense that I would be kind of taking his head. But like I don't know. You get what I mean? I don't even know how clear I'm being. But
I do.
Like,
I feel like his relationship with his friends is, at least in the part of the episode that I'm thinking of, is very... His friends were like, oh, yeah, okay, sure. And then, like, when he was telling them, and then Simon goes and, for lack of a better term, beats up August. And then they drop him off, and they're like, you know that you're no better than any of those people, right? And they leave him with that, and...
See, yeah, I think
it's complicated.
Thank you for reminding me of that line, because I think that's the point where I'm like, I get you haven't been in this like Simon has, so it does seem and is to an extent like a disproportional reaction that was probably never gonna get Simon what he wants.
No,
like resorting to violence was a thing that like didn't. It didn't need to happen, and it wasn't going to solve his problem. But I think at that point of frustration, it was the only thing he felt he could resort to.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get feeling weird about that as his friend. But I have really never gotten, at least not completely, what Rush is getting at by saying you're no better than them.
I don't think if I've ever fully thought about too deeply what exactly she's referring to there.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's this interesting moment of, like, one would think that Rosh and Ayub, who are in a very similar class position to Simon, would, on some level, like, get the disadvantage he's at, which is like, again, not to like totally justify Simon's actions, but it's like he is definitely like, Simon is right that August is fucking him over, and Simon has really nothing he can do about it. But I don't know, like, I think equating the situations or don't feel doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah.
And it never has. And again, like, I think it comes back to, I think the only thing I can think of is that, yes, like I have been, Rosh and Simon are in a similar like class position, but we saw in the pizza scene in last episode, there was starting to be a distance between them the longer that Simon's been at Halerska. And I do think like, they don't really get what it's like for Simon at Halerska.
Because
it's like, Simon can say he doesn't like these people or like make fun of them all he wants, but he doesn't seem to be really sharing how they make him feel.
Right.
And that's the only thing I can point to, because I think there has to be some sort of misunderstanding of what is happening there to have a reaction. Like, I get the strong reaction, but to kind of truly say something that harsh is hard for me to fathom.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought I'd get somewhere with that, but I think I'm kind of almost as confused as I was before.
That's valid.
Yeah. I mean, you never get to the end of analyzing media, so.
Nope.
Maybe we'll sit with it in Simon's character episode. Let's see. All right. Now we're in the Simon. We're just fully in the Simon section. Well, we already were, but. I like the little moments of Simon and Linda, where there's these moments of protective Simon jumping out. Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm just really, really hung up on, like, him, like, really caring about who Linda interacts with at Parents Day. And yeah. also, the way, like, his first thought when he tells them, when August tells them they're not invited to the parent luncheon is like,
my mom's already here.
My mom's already here. Yeah. Like, he really seems to have his guard up mm-hmm. for most of Parents Day and, like, really only kind of lets it down when Villa is at the table with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for the rest of the time, he's kind of just getting through it.
Yeah. He's just, like, muscling his way through the day.
Yeah. Which brings us to Simon and Sarah. I think this episode is really kind of a mix of cute sibling moments, mm-hmm. or I guess the one really cute sibling moment, like, alongside the deepening ideological divide mm-hmm. regarding Kalershka between them. Like, I mean, Simon, because of his interactions with August, and Sarah, because of her growing friendship with Felice, just kind of both have reasons to commit stronger and stronger to the position they already held in mm-hmm. the pilot. And it's these really small moments that you don't really notice until, at least I didn't, until really a second viewing. Of like how much it's like really been steadily growing,
mm-hmm.
And has kind of reached a new height in this episode.
Yeah.
Because it's like they are still close,
mm-hmm.
but it's like it's in public when it really starts like
yeah
seeping out, because it's like Sarah truly doesn't want to rock the boat anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sarah does not want to cause a scene. Does not want anything to be seen like bothering her, and because that would be a sign of otherness.
Yeah.
And Simon is just like righteously angry. And then I mean, kind of transitioning into Sarah and Linda, like the embarrassment on Sarah's face when Linda drives up is like something that mm-hmm. I really need to sit with sometimes.
Yeah.
And be like, it's something established in the pilot, but I think along with everything else that's happening is a thread that you do need to kind of hold on to, is that this was planted. Like
mm-hmm.
Sarah does feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
And does have a strong self-consciousness that, like, I think starts feeling justified to her as she's gaining acceptance. And I do wonder how Linda feels about it, because it is something that I think she seems used to an extent, and mm-hmm. is also kind of just like setting aside.
Yeah.
She can't not be aware of it.
Right.
And so that leaves us with, like, truly this just, like, underlying tension that, like...
Yeah.
Has yet to turn into anything, really. It's just this, like, these little moments of, like, genuine bickering.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of growing tension in the Erickson family right now.
Yeah.
That... Well, like, you'll see it, and then it'll just, like, disappear, and it'll be like, nothing is wrong, and then you'll see it, and then it's just gone.
And it's like, I don't have siblings, so I can't speak to the realism of that, but, like...
I feel like my brother and I never really had much tension.
But, like, I feel like I do kind of sometimes get that, like, families have an equilibrium that they kind of...
Yeah.
...come back to.
Yeah.
And I guess, to be fair, their cute sibling moments come after a lot of all their bickering
mm-hmm.
in the episode.
Yeah. So it's like it went back to this normal.
Yeah.
So it was like in the high stress situation of Parents Day, we had this like tension between them. But once that's passed, it's like.
Yeah, there's a pressure on both of them for different reasons that really does kind of seem to reveal a fracture, and then it doesn't seem to be there without that external pressure.
Yeah.
But it still does make you wonder, kind of where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still there? Is it truly that circumstantial? Like, who knows?
Yeah.
But as promised, to finish us off, we're going to talk. Oh, wait. I forgot.
We got to do Linda and Felice's parents first.
Yes. I just want to open up the question of, like, how real do we think Smeeson and Popa's, like, niceties to Linda are?
Like, I'd like to think almost, they're pretty genuine.
Like, I almost feel like they do feel genuine to me. They feel honest up to a point. Like I am distrustful just based on their relationship with Felice, and just like all of the parents like in this upper class do seem to have just like. They're definitely flawed, so I'm just kind of just like seeing the angle in. And the biggest thing I can see is that they seem like they have very little concept of anyone outside of their own world.
Yeah.
They don't really seem to treat Linda like an other, which is refreshing and I think maybe slightly unexpected, but I think in some way they also kind of understand her as an equal in a way that is potentially like misunderstanding. Like, Papa asks Sarah about her horse under the full expectation that she could afford a horse,
right?
Which bears the question that I realize doesn't actually get answered, although it maybe could based on like the whole seating thing. Like they more than likely know, and like that. But it's like it kind of just raises the question: like, do they know that Simon and Sarah are scholarship students? And I would think because of the seating, like that would kind of have come up, or like it would happen, but also could have just been an avoided topic, and because it's like they do to an extent kind of just behave as though they're another Hilarishka family, where I think just kind of it creates gaps. But one way I do think I maybe want to backtrack on this a little bit is the way that Smeeson like talks about like horseback riding and like the education, kind of like I don't know if she talked about education Hilarishka broadly, but like she's like very like complimentary of like horseback riding as an activity.
Yeah.
And this could literally just be what she talks about, I think, to an extent. Like, it does seem to be a really big part of her life and her passions. But, like, there is an angle to take on that, being like, don't you agree? You must understand how much better Hilarishka is than other places and like the opportunities it affords. And like that is to an extent, like I could see like potentially an awareness of who Linda is and who she's talking to. And I don't want to paint it as though like they're like overwhelmingly welcoming. They're not like the warmest ever. But
they could also be a hell of a lot colder.
Oh, that could be way worse. Way worse. And like they're about like what you would expect for like adults who've never met before, whose parents are friends, interacting.
Whose kids are friends.
Whose kids are friends. Thank you.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It it's just interesting to me, like, questioning, like, is Simon justified in this, like, distrust of, like, I don't think my mom should be try to be, like, buddy-buddy with Lisa's parents? Or is, like, there actually an opportunity for, like, building bridges there? Don't really know.
I think both could be possible at the same time, but...
Yeah, fair.
Linda and Wilhelm?
Linda and Wilhelm. I, as promised last episode, I wanted to end us on a moment that... as I wrote my notes, I want to end us on a soft moment for once in this cycle, because it's they're few and far between, as we've keep mentioning. It's such a brief scene, but brief exchange. It's not even a full scene, but like I don't know if Linda went into that interaction with any sort of expectations. I don't know if she even knew she was gonna meet Wilhelm.
Probably not.
Because, like, I'm just in this moment realizing how much has Simon even said to his mom about Wilhelm? I mean,
I would guess minimal to none.
Yeah.
To be, like, honest.
Like, imagine your son did not mention that the Prince of Sweden is becoming his friend, as far as you can tell. Like,
yeah. And then he just sits down and is like, hi.
Yeah. But I think Linda is a very, something I appreciate about her is she's a very go with the flow type person, mm-hmm. in the sense that, like, she will give back the energy she's given.
Oh, yeah.
And so when Wilhelm treats the interaction casually, she's fine to be like, okay, yeah. And so it's just a great, great moment.
I think forever have a soft spot for when Linda said, I feel like I'm the only one who doesn't know everybody. And Wilhelm goes, well, now you do.
Yeah.
It's baby activity right there.
Yeah. It also was a moment of, like, true, genuine diplomacy. Like, mm-hmm. again, a thing that gets disregarded because Eric does seem, like, supernaturally gifted at being a prince. Like, Villa does have a lot of the skills to do this.
Yeah.
And it's something that I don't want to disregard ever. Mm-hmm. Because I don't necessarily want us to say that really to any extent that, like, his lack of skills at being prince are what make this position uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, yes, he has an inferiority complex comparing himself to Eric, but it's like, he can do this. Mm-hmm. It just, like, is a struggle.
Yeah.
That, like, just, it makes total sense, but it also doesn't invalidate his competency.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Just reaching out to people and making a genuine connection.
Yeah.
Social anxiety doesn't mean being antisocial.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to keep up with it, to date with when we release new episodes and other Potter-related announcements, you can check out our Instagram at People Don't Talk About or our threads at the same handle. Our next episode will be a character standing of Wilhelm in season 1, episode 3. And with that, all I have to say is, let's start a revolution, baby.